This is a request from Lawns Point Service Company requesting authorization to install a 6-inch treated wastewater outfall pipe with a diffuser, which is planned to service a residential development with the pipe will extend into Lawns Creek, which is a tributary to the James River in Olive Lake County. The evaluation notes that it is protested by a Worcester Ground leaseholder. I did manage to resolve that protest last week. Mr. John D. Maria, who has a lease, which I'll show you in the presentation nearby, and I'll explain the impact of that. But he did withdraw his protest based on the information I provided to him last week. We still want to brief the commission because it is somewhat unusual for an outfall pipe like this in an area that is near shellfish resources. We are recommending approval. And we want to explain to you why. There's some special circumstances with this pipe and the way the effluent is being treated. So with that, we'll proceed with the presentation. This is an overview map of the entire Lawns Point development. And Kathy, can you turn the lights on? It's the residential community. Portions of it border on the James River. And then this is Lawns Creek to the upper part of the map here. The area we'll be concentrating on is this area right here. This is the actual treatment facility, and I'll have a little more detailed map to show you the pipeline that runs over to the creek itself. Again, an aerial, we are looking towards the idle fleet in the James River out here. This is the mouth of Lawns Creek, which switchbacks around and comes up here. This is the approximate location of the actual outfall pipe. Again, a little more detailed view of the actual, this is the actual plant, and I'll discuss a little more about the 30-day holding pond and that. The pipe will run along this road and then along an easement, this lot line, and across the wetlands. It is proposed to be directionally drilled, so no wetlands permit was required. And then the short area that will actually encroach on the state bottom right here. Cross-sectional view again showing where they will come from the upland, directionally drill, and then the flex valve outfall at the creek bottom. Again, you can see it just extends a short distance into the creek, approximately 25 feet. And again, a schematic of where it will come back up. There will be some small a stone place to support the structure at its outfall. And again, this is what it'll look like. The treatment plant that's proposed with this outfall will employ both a primary and secondary treatment, as well as a nutrient reduction and a tertiary filtration technology, and is designed to produce a high-quality effluent that is not expected to adversely affect the water quality of Lawns Creek. Additionally, the facility will employ beneficial use of the treated wastewater through irrigation of nearby uplands during dry periods, which will result in a reduction of the frequency and volume of the discharge. According to the requirements of the Virginia Pollutant Discharge Elimination System, the VPDIS permit from the Department of Environmental Quality, the permittee is limited to a discharge of a maximum of 50,000 gallons per day when necessary. Pursuant to requirements of the Health Department, the Division of Shellfish Sanitation, the effluent must be discharged into a 30-day retention pond prior to secondary disinfection and then final discharge into Lawns Creek. This is the Health Department map depicting the closure within Lawns Creek. Again, this is the mouth of Lawns Creek, James River out here. This is the approximate location of the outfall pipe. Lawns Creek is currently closed to direct harvest of shellfish due to water quality issues. However, it has historically been open some in the past. What this pipe will result in is sort of a new restricted area that you probably haven't really seen before. Typically, an outfall pipe always has an additional restriction within a certain radius around the pipe. And that area is usually prohibited from any shellfish extraction. With the type of effluent, with the primary and secondary in the holding pond, the Health Department has determined and the FDA has approved what's called a minimum restricted area, which is kind of hard to see. It's a little washed out. But basically, the minimum restricted area would start here and go upstream of the outfall. This other area is the area that's currently already closed for direct harvest. The difference in this one and a normal one is, instead of a prohibited zone here, if there were shellfish resources here, they could be relayed under this minimum restricted area. So it wouldn't fully restrict the harvest of shellfish. They just have to be moved to a clean area for 15 days and purged. That was kind of germane to the protest of Mr. DeMaria. This is just, again, similar orientation of the creek. This is Mr. DeMaria's lease right here. It stops at this point. Again, a number of leases out in the James. The actual outfall is right here at the bottom of the map. And that is 9,000 feet from Mr. DeMaria's lease in a straight line. The approximate area of the minimal restricted area is about here. So if the creek were to open due to improved water quality, this would begin the area of the minimally restricted, which would still allow for relay of shellfish, but not direct harvest. Based on this information to Mr. DeMaria, I don't think realized it was quite this far up the creek, and based on the information of the health department, and that this area wouldn't be, you know, permanently condemned for direct or relay, he withdrew his protest and no longer objects to the project. Again, a final aerial. You can turn the lights back on. Okay. The maximum discharge at this pipe would never exceed more than 2% of the flow of the creek. And again, as noted, it should not have a direct impact on harvest of shellfish. The staff additionally believes that shellfish probably will not survive this far up Long's Creek due to lack of salinity. Mr. DeMaria has indicated he has caught considerable oysters at the mouth, but he agreed that he didn't believe oysters probably would survive quite this far up. It appears to me, you know, maybe up in this area. I actually probed the creek with a staff up above Mr. DeMaria's lease and did find a few either oysters or shells on the bottom, but nowhere near this far up. Right? When I probed up in this area, it was all just mud bottom. As I noted, it does not require a wetlands permit because the portion under the wetlands area is going to be directionally drilled. The Department of Game and Inland Fisheries, however, does recommend a time of year restriction for anadromous fish from February 15th to June 30th. And as noted, the Virginia Pollutant Discharge Elimination System has been issued by DQ, and that was issued on November the 17th of last year. We've received no other agency comments. Therefore, provided the applicant adheres to the provisions of the DEQ permit as issued, which include primary treatment, retention in a holding pond for 30 days, and then secondary disinfection treatment before any discharge, installation of the outfall pipe with diffuser appears to be a reasonable use of state-owned Semequius lands and should not adversely impact shellfish resources, since any viable resource should be located well downstream of the project. We therefore recommend approval with the following conditions. Should the use of this outfall pipe result in any prohibition of shellfish harvest, to include a prohibition of relaying downstream of any area supporting shellfish growth, the applicant will be required to cease use of the outfall pipe and seek other methods. No construction within Long's Creek may occur between February 15th and June 30th of any year to protect anadromous fish species. All areas of the state-owned bottom and adjacent lands disturbed during this observation shall be restored to their original contours and natural conditions within 30 days from the date of completion of the authorized work, and all excess material shall be removed to an upland site and contained in a manner such as it doesn't re-enter state waters. We also recommend a royalty of $75 for the encroachment over 25 feet of subaqueous land at a rate of $3 per linear foot. I'd be happy to answer some questions. The Over Corporation, which was acting as the agent, is here today and is prepared to speak as well.
Any questions? Mr. Robbins.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I have a couple of questions. Ben, you may recall the commission recently denied an outfall pipe permit application in Chincoteague. In that case, one of the concerns we had, I think, was the risk of introducing possibly a virus and the risk to the adjacent shellfish resources.
Right.
Does the fact that this permit requires a minimum 30-day retention in the holding pond, is that element of this requirement, is it that requirement in this permit that helps mitigate that risk?
Right, that and a secondary disinfection treatment even after the 30-day holding before they could discharge. This is a little different than the one previous one.
Okay, yes. The second question I had, just to follow up, one of your recommendations is conditional, and that condition is that should the use of this outfall pipe result in a prohibition of shellfish harvest downstream from any supporting shellfish growth, the applicant would be required to immediately cease use of the outfall pipe. I guess what assurances do we have that that's going to be monitored, or how will the water quality in that area be monitored?
Right. Basically, if that were to happen, they'd probably be in violation of their DEQ permit, or they certainly would be in violation. And therefore, it's really sort of just the backing up of the DEQ permit. Provided they can meet all the requirements of the DEQ permit, there shouldn't be, you know, based on the health department's evaluation, any change in. But if the system is not operated properly, then they would be in violation of their DEQ permit, which would also require them to not discharge.
And who's going to be responsible for monitoring that water quality? Is that DEQ. Department of Health or DEQ?
Well, Health Department actually monitors the water, but right. In conjunction with the DEQ permit.
Thank you.
I think they take regular samples up there, Mr. Robbins, as far as the Division of Shellfish Sanitation. I see them out there quite frequently doing the type of monitoring. Mr. Tankard.
I have maybe an educational question. We talk about the encroachment of 25 feet, but yet it seems to me that the minimal restricted area is in some ways an encroachment as well on the current state of the body of water. Can you tell me about why you only call it 25 feet of encroachment?
Well, the pipe itself
right.
that we're authorizing extends 25 feet channel to mean low water.
Right.
The health department, when they look at outfall pipes, always they have a modeling system that they will extend a closure a certain radius, and that's where that comes from. The difference with this one is they still are requiring that radius closure, but it's not a prohibited area like typically we see with these types where no shellfish could come out, period.
I think the question, correct me if I'm wrong, you're asking is what actually constitutes an encroachment.
An encroachment, yeah.
I think in this situation, Mr. Graver, Ben, you can correct me if I'm wrong, it's a tangible encroachment. It's not the continuum as far as the shellfish areas, or that's what you're basing it upon, correct?
That's what this royalty is based on, and the royalty itself is based on the privatization or private use of a public resource. Right. And because there's really not a prohibition, they're really only using 25 feet. If in fact they were prohibiting and condemning, and let's say it was a quarter mile upstream and downstream, the public was going to be prohibited, it had health reasons, even if the commission decided at that point to issue the permit, it seems to me an argument could be made that a royalty would be assessed for the entire area that in essence is being converted to a private use. It's not
total
really
exclusion.
Yes. I mean, that's not really the case in this particular instance, though.
But it is. But the area is being impaired.
It's being impaired, yes, from the standpoint of the condemnation zone. It's not impairing the relaying, and as Ben has indicated, there's really the salinity is such that from the standpoint of the oyster resource, it's really not impacting an area that would be traditionally used for oyster aquaculture and growth. There's really not a recreational use, and other than the prohibition for the anadromous to protect the anadromous spawning, it's really not being converted to a private use. I guess.
All right. While I'm talking, looking at the photograph here, there's some marshes directly across the creek from the outfall.
Correct.
Have we considered, or are we required to consider any effect that the outfall may have on those marshes?
It's certainly one of the criteria in 28.2.12.05
Right.
There is a local wetlands board. There's really, other than the directional drilling along the shoreline, which is not constituting a use or development of tidal wetlands, there's really, we do not believe that there's an impact, direct or secondary, as a result of the outfall to the marsh. It's not like there's a sufficient influx of fresh water that's going to change the salinity or hydrology or the vegetative makeup or things of this nature. We're not aware of any direct impact to the marshes in question.
Okay, so we're not worried about that.
Correct.
Mr. Schick.
The secondary treatment process is and it's conducted after the holding pond. Is that a ultraviolet or some type of natural plant process, or how's that secondary?
I think the applicant can probably address that. The Over Corporation.
Okay.
And I'd add that there are no leases up here, and I'm not aware of any public use of this, during the public season as far as shellfish. We just don't think shellfish would grow this far.
Being familiar with the area, what happens in these specific tributaries over there, although the James River may have a certain salinity level, it doesn't take it very long once you get up the creek before it goes to fresh water. That's just the way the natural flow of the water is. For example, I live on Cypress Creek, which is a tributary of the Pagan, and once you get up, just a mile or so out of the Pagan at Smithfield Station, upstream, you start seeing freshwater species. So I think the same is true from a salinity level in Lawns Creek as well.
Right. Even the James, we're reaching the upper limit within the James itself,
right,
where shellfish will grow.
Any other questions, Ben? Thank you, Ben. Is the applicant here, represented? Good morning, sir. Would you come forward?
Yes.
Just raise your right hand. You solemnly swear the testimony that you're about to give will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God.
I do.
You state your name and who you represent, please.
It's Richard Lawrence Hawkins, Director of Environmental Services for Over Incorporated, and I'm the agent for the applicant.
Good to have you here, sir.
Thank you.
Do you have any comments?
Mr. Stagg, I think, did a very thorough job of addressing the project. There are a few things I would like to add to that, and I recognize the commission has a full agenda, so I'll keep my remarks brief.
We appreciate that.
The facility itself is designed and permitted for up to 50,000 gallons per day of wastewater treatment. However, for this location, we fully anticipate that the actual flows will be more in the vicinity of 25,000 gallons per day. In addition, we will be utilizing spray irrigation wherever possible, particularly during the dry periods, to minimize the amount of wastewater that's actually discharged to Lawns Creek. The facility itself does use primary, secondary, and tertiary treatment processes, and these were incorporated to ensure that the nutrients and pathogens that would be discharged are very low, if at all. The VDH, Division of Shellfish Sanitation, requirement for a 30-day holding period or holding pond was included. However, the design of the facility is fairly conservative, and we actually have a 60-day holding period or holding pond incorporated in the facility. It does use ultraviolet disinfection. This is one of the better forms of disinfection, particularly for viruses. And by utilizing the holding pond and doing a double filtration, double disinfection, I think we get maximum destruction of any pathogens. The facility and the discharge itself has undergone a fairly thorough and comprehensive interagency permitting process. The Department of Environmental Quality approved the plans and specifications for the treatment facility. A wastewater discharge permit, a VPS permit, has been issued for the facility, and this was issued only after a thorough review and determination that the discharge would not adversely impact the water quality in Lawns Creek. As part of the permitting process, we did work very closely with the Division of Shellfish Sanitation. Initially, we proposed a discharge to the James River. However, upon their recommendations, moved that to Lawns Creek. We added the double disinfection as well as the 30 or 60-day holding pond. In addition, the facility is eligible for coverage under the DEQ's Watershed General Permit that deals with the nutrient issues and the Chesapeake Bay restoration programs. This does require nutrient offsets. The facility is prepared to do that. The end result is that there will be no new increase in nitrogen or phosphorus loading to the watershed as a result of this facility. The outfall permitting itself through the JPA process is gone very well. The Isle of Wight County Wetlands Board issued a statement indicating no permit was required. Corps of Engineers approved for coverage under the General Nationwide Permit Number 12. The DEQ issued the no VWP permit required correspondence, and of course the DMRC is the last step in the process. So again, in closing, I think we have a very good facility here. I think the potential for impact on Lawrence Creek is very remote, and I know that the applicant will work diligently to comply with all of the BPDES permit requirements, the DMRC permit requirements, and ensure that there's no impact to the receiving stream.
Thank you. Any questions? Mr. Tankard.
No new nutrient loading. Tell me about how you secured that.
As you're probably aware, as a result of the Chesapeake Bay preservation regulations, as new facilities are brought online and as facilities expand, they cannot add additional nitrogen or phosphorus loading to the watershed. In this particular instance, the facility is going to work with the Virginia Nutrient Credit Exchange Association and work with other wastewater treatment plants that have not used their allocation, and they will buy allocation from those facilities. We did some modeling and some projections as part of the offset plan, and we recognize there will probably not be a discharge from the facility for the first 2 to 3 years as houses are built and as the flows pick up. During the fourth and fifth year projections, we anticipated it will probably be in the ballpark of around 250,000 gallons per year discharge, you know, well under the 50,000 gallon per day limit. And when we project the loading based on those flows and the nitrogen and phosphorus concentrations that this treatment process will achieve, we find that the loadings of nitrogen are just about just under 4 kilograms per year. You know, it's just under 10 pounds. And the phosphorus is just under half a kilogram per year, or just about a pound. So we believe we'll very easily be able to acquire that type of allocation from some of the other facilities in the watershed.
Further questions? Well, one comment I would make is that one of the most difficult decisions this commission has is when we decide to allow the discharge of any type of effluent into a water body of the Commonwealth. No doubt that this system, and that one of the reasons that this project was heard, even with the protest removed, is because we wanted to demonstrate consistency in our application of what we do and demonstrate that there's a distinct difference between this type of system and the one and the circumstances of the one that was in Chincoteague. So that's one of the reasons that we have this before today. My only caveat is please do what you're supposed to do as far as the monitoring is concerned. I know this permit, from being a resident of Smithfield and Isle of Wight County, has come and gone in different variations, but I believe at this juncture, based on all the information that we have, it's about the very best it possibly can be, as long as it's maintained and operated in a manner that it's designed to do so. So I'll get off my soapbox, but I really do have a difficult time when it comes to discharging effluent. But anyway, with that, thank you, sir. Is there anyone else here in support of this project? Is there anyone here in opposition to the project? If not, the matter is before the commission for discussion or action. Mr. Robbins.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I would just agree with your earlier comments that we have to be concerned about water quality as a commission. I think we're always concerned about the proximate potential impact and also the cumulative effects. We're at a point in our history where the DO levels in the bay are very poor. We have a lot of water quality problems, and I think we need to be very, very conscious of that. However, it appears based on staff's evaluation and the testimony we've heard today that by design this system is set up with a sufficient retaining pond and holding period requirement. I think the conditions in the permit will help mitigate the risk of introduction of any viruses or things of that nature that would be hazardous to the local shellfish resource and the public. With that, I would offer a motion to approve.
Motion
staff recommendations.
Motion made by Mr. Robbins to approve staff recommendations. Or second?
Second.
Seconded by Dr. McConaughey. Further discussion? All in favor of the motion signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Motion carries unanimously. Thank you. Thank you so much for the presentation. Good job, Ben. Next item on the agenda is Fred Obrecht, 06-1725. Mr. Badger, good morning.
Good morning.